Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about a discussion of Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Ruffett. How are you doing today, Chris?
Jesse, I'm just staggered here in the wake of this new game that's sitting before us.
Right?
There's so much going on. I don't even feel like I fully processed the core box number 2 that's coming in October, and now I have 22 new characters to learn, and today we will.
Absolutely. It's a crazy thing, right? Where we're just going to see how much the game is truly going to change, quite honestly, like end of October onward, right?
Yes.
Where it's like the core set's fully out in the world, people have the models assembled, starting to put them together. Starting to play with that, but like I said in last episode, Chris, our mini extravaganza part 1 and this technically mini extravaganza part 2, our character card errata changes, and I stand by what I said, where I was like, if the core set wasn't coming out, we'd be living in a crazy new game world, right? The core set's like an extra layer of cake on top of the cake that was already here that we have no idea what it's going to taste like, you know what I mean? We got like a triple tiered cake now, where we've got like card changes being kind of the base, honestly, right? Then the new core set. And then the smallest tier at the top is, of course, stuff coming out in the winter and the spring, right? Which is also going to change the game in a huge way, which we covered last episode.
Things we have to start thinking about and planning for. King T'Challa is not up in our faces quite yet, so we don't have to worry about it yet. But it's coming.
For a moment.
It's definitely coming.
Yeah, just for a moment, which is great. So we've got a lot to talk about today, so I think we should just get right into it. Before that, we got some people to thank.
Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs. And while you are there, let them know that we sent you by using the discount code FURY5 at checkout.
Of course, that's the number 5, and that'll get you 5% off his already discounted rate, which is insane. Yeah, it also lets Mr. Laser know, like Chris said, that you heard it on the show. It's awesome. Keeps our relationship with Mr. Laser going. Speaking of awesome relationships, iWarGame makes the best mark mats for MCP, and we highly recommend checking them out at iWarGame.net. And we also have a special code with them, FF Podcast, Fury's Finest Podcast. They get you 10% off all of their marked mats, which we think is incredible. Volume 2 is out now. Dig in, get a bunch of mats for your local group, start playing on them.
They're wonderful mats.
Absolutely.
Fury's Finest is, of course, supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a patron for Fury's Finest at patreon.com/Fury's Finest. For less than a cup of coffee a month, you can support the show. And it truly, every little bit helps. And with becoming a patron, you get access to our private patrons only Discord, which will then gain you access to our private patrons only league and painting competitions. So excellent, excellent stuff. This week, we have a very special shout out. Brian, thank you so much for your patronage. We truly, truly appreciate it. And as always, we have to thank our Avenger level producers. These are the guys that really keep the lights on. Rich and Sean, my guys.
Thank you, Avengers. You guys are keeping the lights on, of course, during all the times where it's like the podcast keeps going and helping us pay our fees. And yeah, once again, the Patreon's really exciting right now, Chris. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of discussions happening. The league is in full force. Painting Gallery is in full force. And we'd love to have you on there. So check out our tiers and jump on the Patreon feed. And we dropped some new After Darks for the bonus episodes as well. All right, Chris, let's just get right into these AMG Mini Stravaganza 2023 character card changes. Starting right out the gate with one of our favorite characters, the Amazing Spider-Man. Very simple change to Spider-Man. First step is his spender, whatever a spider can, went down in price by 1 power, which is very nice because it was 5, now it's down to 4. And what do you know? He's gonna have more power in general because that happened, but additionally, he got a new ability, which is very similar to one of my favorite abilities in the game. One of my favorite abilities in the game, Beast, disconcerting but provocative, where Beast rolls a skull and he gets additional power. Peter has that now. It's more the Doc Ock flavor, which is very thematic, the scientific hubris. Anytime Peter rolls dice, so whether it's attack, dodge, defend, pay to flips, other things, superpowers, right? Anytime he's rolling dice, if he rolls 1 crit in the roll, he'll get 1 power.
Which is absolutely massive for him, because that was kind of one of his problems, right? Kind of keeping him back from other competitive 5 threats was power generation. He's tanky. He can move really, really well. You know, he's got ways to spend his power, but he just didn't always have the power to spend. So I really, really like this change.
I couldn't agree more, Chris. I honestly, I'm going to say this a lot today, but mm-hmm. I think people were sleeping on a character like Amazing Spider-Man, weren't playing him enough. And I'm going to say that with a lot of characters today. And it's funny because little nudges like this can get people to play characters that they've never considered, even though it's like a nudge. This is just a slight nudge for Peter. He's still the same Peter. Yeah, you're going to be able to do his spender more, but I don't think you were doing a spender that often to begin with because the web swing is too good, right? And the web swing is costly. Witty Banner is too good. So whatever a spider can was pretty tough, but also keep in mind, whatever a spider can is like a quasi action economy because he gets that medium move and he gets a size 2 throw, which is decent if he gets a wild. So you are going to want to do it, but yeah, absolutely, Chris, you could always ignore him before.
Right.
And now when Peter's attacking you and when he's doing pay to flips and when he's doing things on his own autonomy, he can potentially gain power back, right? Which is also incredible on like a pay to flip. You flip a madman trap and you got that power back that you just spent to flip the madman trap, right? Amazing.
It's pretty sweet. But you know what I'm looking forward to the most with this character is having the power to just be witty bantering.
Yes.
Anybody and everyone. This is going to be so true to the character. I mean, in the comics, this guy literally is quipping so often that his allies get annoyed with him.
Yes. Like
they want him to go away. They don't care that he's helping. They just want to quit hearing him talk. So I think we're going to achieve that with this Amazing Spider-Man on the tabletop. And big props to AMG for this, because this is one of the kind of fantasy changes that I love the most.
Absolutely. I adore it. Amazing Peter is one of my favorite characters to play. And, you know, obviously a bump for Web Warriors as well, because
Dude, I'm putting him in my defenders list. It's happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, defenders all around got boosts, and he's great in defenders. He already was pretty great in defenders.
Yes.
And now we're in a different world. But also, let's not forget, Peter has this really cool leadership that's really powerful, but it's very taxing because it costs power to put the slows on people, right? So now he actually has more synergy with his leadership as well. And I will mention one final rules bit here, Chris, which is absolutely insane to me. Unless they rule differently on the forums, this is how it is per the rules. When you pay 1 power to do Winnie Banner to reroll 1 attack in your opponent's dice roll, if you reroll it into a crit, okay, that's unfortunate. It's still a success for them. But what do you know? Peter was rolling dice and he rolled a crit. So he got that scientific hubris type power. So you netted the Winnie Banter back. Yes, you didn't get the effect off you wanted, but it was free. So also, once again, he is going to Winnie Banter more than ever before. So even when the Winnie Banters are fails, he at least got a power back potentially. So I think it's incredible. And it's going to make him all the more difficult to take down too. Because Woody Banner can also just, oh, you've got Pierce on your attack, reroll that wild. You're no longer piercing Peter. He's even more defensive. So, but we got to move on.
Well, and to- not just him, man.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
your whole team.
Oh, yeah,
you just,
of course.
You just set this bubble on that E, and if you can generate enough power, any attack that happens, you're rerolling one of your opponent's dice just every time. It's not oppressive. It's not overpowered. It's just going to be annoying. Yeah, and I love it.
It's efficient, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're always willing to pay one to reroll on your opponent's dice, especially if it's a good stuff symbol. Those Yahtzee rolls, this completely disrupts that, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect for stuff like that.
And we talked about it not too long ago in our Amazing Peter episode, so definitely check that out if you want more deep dives on how to play Peter Parker. But let's move into arguably the biggest change in this entire set.
I think this is the second big winner.
Yes, there's two big ones.
That's not a hot take, right? No. I think that's been said quite a bit, but for purposes of our podcast here, this is the just an incredibly effective change. This is awesome.
This is a rework.
Good.
These are not like nerfs or buffs. This is a rework, right? Which is insane. So let's talk about our old friend here, Blackagar Boltagon. So I'm going to go through all the changes and then we can discuss what all this means for him. So he gained 1 HP on his front side. Absolutely amazing because he was so fragile before. He gained 1 Mystic Defense increase on his front side. His builder attack, the Energy Bolt, went up 1 strength. Incredible. It's now 6 dice from range 4. That's with the Pierce.
Ridiculous.
It's nearly Malekith levels like we talked about last episode. Master Punch also costs 1 less, which I think is one of the coolest spenders in the game because it's a teleport, right? It's just a tool to teleport, but it also gets to hurt people, right? We said in the Black Bolt episode, he gained a new superpower, which is absolutely incredible. A king serves his people for 1 power. It's reactive. When another allied character within 2 of Black Bolt is targeted by an attack, Black Bolt may use this superpower. Black Bolt now becomes target attack regardless of range and line of sight. So he got Bodyguard from Steve, but for 1. First bodyguard in the game is 1, right?
The amount that it plays in with his kit is incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
It's no secret that you want Black Bolt to be flipped by about round 2 or 3 on his injured side to gain access to Whisper. You can do that reliably now.
Well, and like Whisper aside, it just makes him like, it makes his team so much better because before you could ignore Black Bolt and then you could pick off people like Crystal and stuff. You can't do that now, right? So, and it also makes the Inhumans leadership better too, right? Because Black Bolt could go early in a turn, do all the fun stuff he wants to do, spend all his power, but save enough for some bodyguards. And now he just bodyguards the rest of the attacks for the rest of the turn onto him. And what do you know? He's taking damage. He's gaining more power. You're passing to other people on their turns. Like there's a lot of synergy here. And time's going to tell like how it all works out. But continuing with his changes, because there's even more, Chris, on his injured side, Whisper went up by 1 more dice up to 10. It seems fitting that it should have been 10 the whole time. And he loses bodyguard on his injured side. Also seems fitting because he's like fighting. He's in the fray. But biggest change of all, he got focus power and innate superpower. During the power phase, his character gains 1 additional power. So he is Asgardian for all intents and purposes of Fury's Finest, as we talked about in the show. So now also, Chris, not only everything's online even more because it's feeding the leadership, which I've already said I think is one of the best leaderships in the game. Okay, he starts with 2 power. That's an easy pass to somebody, right? Right round 1 if you want. Still has a bodyguard online. You're going to do Whisper more often. You're going to do Master Punch more often. You're going to be able to pay for anti-gravitational field more often. It's kind of insane, Chris. He also lost his ability. We might have misspoken the last episode because we were talking about the possibility of the ability with his attack going up, but he did lose his ability, his like Friday AI ability.
Yeah.
He did lose that. So number 1, I think because there was no space on the card, but number 2, he couldn't have that on top of like all his attacks going up in dice, getting bodyguard, getting more power. Everything went up. So he had to lose something.
It kind of just got baked into the kit, right? It got redistributed. That power got redistributed elsewhere. And I think that works because giving him something else to have to pay for just doesn't seem right. I think they really nailed it. We've got the anti-grav field for defense.
Still there, yeah. Yep.
You know, and we've got the bodyguard on his front side. He loses bodyguard on his injured side.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I already alluded to in recent episodes, I've been pulled to the light within humans just
yeah,
because I think they are such a rewarding faction. They're a playstyle I do like to play where it's like the more time you put in the humans, the better you are at the game, the better in humans power you are, because it is so taxing, right? To know who to pass power every turn, what you're going to do. It's very chess-like, where you're like, well, in three turns, Miss Marvel's going to have her change size, right? Because I'm going to set up a sequence of events to give her that, right? A lot of things like that, but Black Bolt himself is so real now that kind of insanity. He's so good by himself that the Inhumans went up as a whole.
100%. I mean, he was the only thing that gave you pause in playing the Inhumans, right? It's like, well, I have to play with healthy side Black Bolt. That doesn't sound very fun. It does now.
Yeah.
It sounds very fun now.
And he also feels like the threat that he was always intended to be in the 100%. Canon, right?
He is now in line with other five threat characters in this game, to the point where he has an incredible leadership, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see him splashed in a couple of places.
100%. Because like the one cost bodyguard alone.
Exactly. It's huge.
And just the ability to turret so powerfully while being a bodyguard, that's enough, right? So
two range four energy attacks that both hit like trucks. So pretty nasty, man.
Also, this power phase thing, Chris, I think is absolutely insane, because now it's like, okay, Lockjaw's going to have his good boy power, massive pool of power, and Black Bolt's going to have two. Let's go. Let's start moving power around to the team. I'm immediately going to go turn one. I'm going to give Medusa one power from either Lockjaw or Black Bolt, and she's immediately going to Royal Decree Black Bolt up range two. Stuff like that, right? Like this is like, I haven't even started my turn yet and I've done that, right? Because I have access to more power. Very thematic too, because I think the Inhumans are just going to work even better together, and they're going to get rewarded for playing them more together, right? And it's great. Yeah. And also it inversely works the other way. If Black Bolt needs a little bit of power, oh, well, Crystal got a bunch of gainers off, right? Pass them to Black Bolt and set up his next turn to be really explosive. All puns intended. And yeah, Whisper being 10 dice now just thematically feels right. And it's very exciting, right? He's a threat. He's a huge threat.
Man, I really feel like stealing power from your opponent is going to become more and more relevant and something we all have to think about and start doing. And I see these changes, these 22 card changes, and about 20 of them just scream, play more characters with root.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Absolutely. I mean, it certainly messes up some plans, right?
It throws a monkey wrench into a lot of players that have very kind of regimented first two or three rounds of action.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on, and I will talk through the Black Cat changes. We had a feeling this was coming, and it did come. What's really interesting about this, Chris, is you and I alluded to this in the last episode, but it's like, we believe that through the crisis changes, Black Cat was already reined in a little bit, right? Through the loss of single extracts, through the loss of certain shapes, right?
The loss of the single extract was huge. I think the biggest thing, because it took away her big, I draw this, I win.
Oh, of course. And then also even the white extracts, now they're all smushed together.
Yes.
Like where Black Cat so doesn't want to be.
She's got to be in more danger. So, and not to mention just the meta in general, this big boy meta, it's scary to have your entire game plan kind of hinging around a five threat, a five stamina character in Black Cat.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone that can just be easily removed by any 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 threat in the game. And most teams have at least one five threat on the field right now, at least. So,
I do
think that these changes that we're seeing here are future proofing for, I feel like, the phase of the game we're about to be in.
Well, and just the game as a whole, right? I think the red carpet was obviously laid out for Felicia when we saw Enchantress's steel get changed to an action, right? And so now it's like, okay, all pretense aside, Master Cat Burglar is now an action. So Black Cat would have to spend one of her two actions to actually do the steal. Keep in mind, she's still all the original clauses before. She's got to be range one. So she's already in danger. This is huge because it's just not as safe, right, Chris? But also, they did give her some slight buffs to kind of balance out this huge nerf with the Cat Burglar. So her Cat Claws attack, which is only four dice, keep in mind, but it gains bleed if the attack dealt one damage. So, you know, not like auto bleed, but not a wild, somewhere in the middle, right?
Well, with the pierce on there, that really does help get damage through. It's essentially four and a half, five dice. So
it's something, right?
It's something.
It's a little bit of damage.
It's a little bit good. And I mean, it has some interplay with quite a few. I mean, there's a lot of teams that like bleed. So
oh yeah,
really, you know, this is ultimately a good thing. I think this opens her up to being used in places despite the nerf.
A good change for Midnight Suns and Web Warriors. Maybe it doesn't affect her in her criminal world at all, but
probably not.
But those other teams, it's nice to have. Additionally, they changed Bad Luck's wording a little bit and they made it actually better. So Bad Luck now prevents crits exploding. So the way it reads is, one, targeting this character with attacks, enemy characters cannot modify their attack dice and they do not roll additional dice for crits in their attack rolls. So what this does, Chris, which is very cool, is this is why I say it's a slight buff. Mathematically, of course, MCP dice are wild and going to go different ways, but mathematically, little attacks against Black Cat now cannot spike her in one attack. You need two of them, yeah, right?
To spike her. Four dice attack is not going to get her.
Right. And it's very unlikely the five dice attack is going to get her, right?
Just exactly.
Unless they've got a bunch of stuff that they can do and then she rolls completely nothing.
A lot of extracurriculars have to happen. Yeah.
So it just gave her a certain percentage of defensive nature, which is great. It's kind of like a weaker Spidey sense, which is great. Well, or a domino adjacent. Weaker,
I was going to say, we know how good this is with domino.
Yeah.
It is slightly weaker, but this is good. I mean,
it's good.
Like you said, this just means she is not getting taken off the board by Toad round one. No Toad spike is going to get rid of Black Cat.
Yeah, some silly thing, right? So overall, I think great quality of life for the game change. It is a nerf to Black Cat, but it's she needed it.
It needed to happen. And she's still playable. She's still
especially good in her affiliations.
She's very good in her affiliations. Don't let this nerf dissuade you from playing her. You just have to figure out how to use her a little differently.
And that's a theme we're going to see through today, Chris. I think I'm going to talk a lot where it's some of these models that got nerfed, they're clearly fine in their affiliations, but maybe they got worse being splashed, which is good, probably.
And maybe overall, you can't take them into every situation you used to take them into.
Yes, for
sure. So they're not your blanket plan for every game you play, which is not the way MCP is supposed to be played. You're supposed to be making hard choices in turn zero based on what you see across the board from you, based on what your opponent has in their 10, based on what crises are there. We're not supposed to have many characters in the game that it's just like, oh yeah, I'm playing them. Doesn't matter what happens. Black Cat's on the field and I'm probably using her to win. So this change just brought her in line with the rest of the game, to be honest.
Yeah, it's less now about her Cat Burglar keeping you winning the game or winning the game. It's more just a tool to get back in the game or win the game later. Now I really think she's doing all the other stuff she was doing where it's I think her best ability now is ability that's always been here, that's been arguably your best ability. It's the Troublemaker auto stagger on the big characters, right? She's just going to be a bot to do that now in a lot of ways. And she already was. And I think in this big character meta, a lot of people have been playing her. Avengers players have been playing her, right? Or whatever. So other teams have been playing her just to stagger that Malekith or Hulk or something, right? Huge, huge swing. So she's just going to do that more now. And you're less concerned about getting the perfect steal off. And it's more about that's a tool in your tool belt. And I think it's good. And her being slightly tankier, I think, is a nice quality of life change. And I absolutely love it as a Web Warrior player, right? Because it seems like she's even tankier in Web Warriors now, right? Because she can defensively reroll under Miles' leadership on top of being exploded less by the opponent, right? Which just thematically makes sense, too.
Yeah, I like her a lot in that leadership. That Troublemaker still makes her just an awesome tool against many, many, many characters.
Much needed tool for the Web Warriors too. Well, let's move on, Chris, to a very simple change. Mr. Blade, Eric Brooks, a character you and I really do love. His throwing glaives, his range 4 gainer, got pursuit on a hit. Before damage is dealt, this character may advance towards her character short. Keep in mind, you don't have to move the full distance. You just move somewhere in the box. You don't have to move directly towards them, just somewhere in the box. I think, though this is minor, a very nice big change for Blade to give him quasi action economy, which he's never had.
Yeah, Jesse, I think he really needed this. Not that he was unplayable, but like you said, action economy has been his only drawback for a while. And Blade is never going to be a character you're going to see splashed in a lot of places.
No,
maybe his leadership's
too good.
Yeah, maybe some weird bleed things, but you might Defenders. Be using him as a leader anyway. But I like this. This just encourages people to play him more, figure him out. I think he is a strong piece in the right places. And that, Midnight Suns Defenders dual affiliated, maybe it can work.
For sure. For sure. It's always been a solid list, and this just gives Blade a little bit to do more than when he couldn't do. The leadership's so good. Sometimes Blade would just feel bad where he's just like, I have to move, and then I do one katana and nothing happened, right? So I think this is a really worthwhile change because now he can glaive from range 4, short move up, and then katana somebody or Knight of the Dampier somebody, right? And it's really nice. I think it's a big change. Also keep in mind too, like, you can do this during the Siege of Darkness turn and set up Blade for his next go, right? Even like after you Siege of Darkness and see if you got what you want to get. But we got to move on, Chris, to another massive rework.
this is the one we're all the most excited for.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe not you.
Maybe not everybody. No, I'm very excited about this. I've got an amazing painted Daredevil. It's been funny to hear all the people be like starting to paint these models. And I'm like, what? You guys don't have these models? Like, it, some of these, it makes me feel old in the sense of the game, Chris.
Well, we are.
Like, but also it makes me like push back the echo chamber that is the community on online, you know, where people are just like, well, this character's on play with this character. And so people are like, oh, I'll never buy them or paint them, right?
It's a very competitive, you know, tournament focused discussion space for most of MCP, which is, you know, part of why you and I are here.
Yeah.
To bring a little bit more of a both sides, kitchen table and competitive, but
for sure.
But also, man, I remember when they announced Daredevil and we were just blown away by his model. His model really represented a change in how they sculpted too.
Yeah.
The action, this was their first big use of a lot of, you know, wiry stuff moving around in his baton hooks and things. And not to mention, Daredevil is, and I make no bones about it, he's one of my favorite characters in Marvel period. So the fact that old Matty Murdock is good again and mine is painted and ready to go, it's all good stuff. I'm super excited.
It's very exciting. If you guys have been following the show for a long time, I mean, you know how Defenders was one of my first loves, right? That I really, truly competitively dug into.
True.
And really enjoyed getting the Defenders more fleshed out. I mean, you know, Dr. D screaming out and happiness, you know, it can be felt.
Sort of. I was a little disappointed in his initial reactions. He just had to keep the dialogue going, Dylan. You know?
There it is, Dylan.
Come on, man. We can be happy, bro.
You know he's happy.
I know. I'm just giving you crap, dude. I love you.
It's so good. So, yeah, and Matt Murdock has become one of my all-time favorite characters in Marvel as well, Chris, just because
you're
I think what really works for me with characters, as we've talked about on the show many, many times, if I love the alter ego as much or more than the superhero, I'm all in on that character, right? And like Logan's a great example of that, right? Or Peter Parker, right? Yes, they're popular characters, but they're popular for a reason because without their suits, they're such amazing written characters.
They're still superheroes without their suits.
100%. And that's Matt Murdock, right? So
we
love him, and I love his moral compass. I love all the things about him that just really resonate with me personally. So to see him in the game working in a different way when he was already a solid character, and I've been saying this for a long time and people disagree, but radar sense at any range, martial artist at any range was insane. Like it was, people were saying make him 3-threat. That would have not worked. That would have been way too good.
No, he would have been way too good.
He would have been way too tanky. So I'm happy that we can talk these changes now and talk about things that got buffed up while keeping radar sense, which is absolutely incredible. So let's just go through these and then we can discuss maybe some Daredevil thoughts because there's a lot of them. So he got a new trigger on his baton hook that is a hit. So when he gets a hit, he can trigger pull. After the attack is resolved, the character is size 2 or less. He can push them towards Daredevil short. Very cool, very thematic. Gives him displacement on a range attack when he's kind of out of range. Love it. He got one increase on his physical defense to be in line with the Shadowlands Daredevil. So everyone online can stop complaining about that right now, because I've seen so much of that. His baton hook, I think, is amazing. This is something I was talking with Chris and others behind the scenes that I thought Daredevil should have, but I didn't know how to implement it. And AMG is a lot smarter than me and they implemented it. I was thinking that he should be able to ignore stealth and or like Spidey sense rerolls because of his radar sense, right? And they added this on his baton hook. He can find people, right, with his superpower, which I think is very cool. Very cool. Sometimes you're going to baton hook now to like just to catch people out rather than like walking and getting in their face, right? You're just going to baton hook them
and pull and them see to what you. Happens.
Yep. Yeah. Which is incredibly thematic. Moving on, Man Without Fear got so much better. I think it's one of his coolest abilities. So, of course, you pay 2 powers reactive. After attack targeting Daredevil is resolved, he can use his superpower. He advances towards the character short. Then if the attacker's within range two, you can make a strike. So originally it was just if he's dug in, he can make a strike back. Now he can short move. It's like Sabretooth's Untamed Force now, right? Which is very good. And now it's very usable. Before he had to be dug into that middle gamma, you know, and you just hope for it. But now he can actually move. This also means, Chris, like you attack with range three attacks and stuff, he's just going to move and get in your face. So be careful.
You have to think twice before attacking him now, which is so weird.
It's good.
It's very good. I mean, this is a completely new, treat this like a completely new character. Like, yeah,
it's very akin to Black Bolt.
And respect him. Shake all of that Daredevil is not good out of your mind.
Oh, he's a menace.
This guy's going to be hurting you.
100%. And let's talk about his Devil's Deliverance, his Spender. So they completely changed this. It's the same concept, but they changed the strength up to 6. It was a lot lower before. And now that you gain 1 strength per enemy nearby. So originally it was a lower start, but then you got a higher per enemy around. Now it's a higher start and you just get more per enemies around, which is incredible. Yeah. So I also think this is really good.
And such synergy with this new affiliation leadership that they gave us on him.
Yeah, let's talk about it. The Marvel Knights affiliation defender, so our second defender list in the game. So let's stop complaining about that on line 2. Once per turn, an ally character may reroll a number of its dice equal to the number of enemy characters within range 2 of itself. So once again, once per turn, so it's similar to X-Force or something. But this really jumps up, right, with like the more enemies around you, the reroll gets kind of insane. So on the approach, this is weaker than those affiliations that have like the 1 or 2 rerolls, right? But when you're in the scrum, man, is this got some high, like explosive nature.
He is such an effective bruiser.
He should have always been.
100%. He's got a little bit of disruption. He's got a lot of bit of different kind of rerolls and triggers. I don't know, man. This is...
You don't want to attack him.
You but don't. Then you have to. But you're going to have to. Ugh. I really like him. I know how I'm going to fight against him already, too. And I'm not telling you.
Okay. Sounds good. But this is very exciting.
I mean, I'll tell you. It's just Psylocke. Use mystic attacks. It's just Psylocke. It's always Psylocke.
Yeah. She can pretty much delete anybody.
That's what I do again. I mean, that's what you do against anybody with martial artists is Psylocke.
But yes. I mean, she's a great tool in your tool belt against web warriors in general, right? What's awesome, too, Chris, about this character is... he's so good without the leadership that he really is a plug and play on his affiliated teams and maybe even a lot of splash teams.
I'm more interested in splashes into this leadership now.
Yes. But then he has a leadership as well, is what I was going to say, where it's like, he's an amazing web warrior, but what does Luke Cage look like under this leadership now?
Right? Oh, I know, dude.
Get those staggers off on those.
What does Wolverine look like in this leadership?
You know what he looks like. It's insane under this leadership is what Wolverine is. I'm insane.
What about Logan with that ridiculous beam attack?
That's true.
Do that on an E or on Researcher.
You got to be range 2 for the rerolls, though. No,
I know. It takes some finagling. It'd thinking
be like 2 models. Yeah, yeah.
I'm dream scenarioing here. But if you can have him with a way
on a flank,
away, yeah, on a flank with catch 2 or 3 models, dude.
Extremis consoles,
ridiculous.
Yeah. So we're gonna do some Defenders talk on our After Dark and some other. Episodes in the future. Cannot wait. I'm really excited to return to Defenders, but also it's like helping Chris build his list, helping Dr. D build his list. There's a lot coming up with Defenders. No, do not worry, Defenders fans. We see you. We know you. I have been you for a long time.
Yeah, we just needed something new. It just needed that.
Just a spice.
Yeah, just need a little panache. Just a little
100%
freshen up, and we got it in a big way. Defenders are here.
Absolutely, because they've always had one of the best rosters in the game. So to get another new character and a new leadership, okay, that's enough, right? That's serious. So on top of this amazing roster, let's move on to a character that Chris and I dearly love, Dr. Voodoo. So I'm going to go over these kind of quickly and then we can talk about them because they are kind of, some are abstract and some are pretty massive. This is a massive nerf to Voodoo. So Voodoo's Daniel can only affect extracts now. So you can only make people drop extracts, but those people still count for secures. His Daniel recall, the recall spirit, is a lot more expensive. It's not free at all. It costs 1 more power as well to use it. So that's a massive change. Additionally, the Daniel token goes back to Voodoo when models are dazed. Before, that would stick. That's changed. We saw Squirrel Girls change, and we read the writing on the wall when we saw Squirrel Girls change with Tippi, when Tippi flies back, and we said, oh, that's happening to Voodoo for sure. And it did.
Been eagerly awaiting it. Voodoo was not a fun play experience to play against.
It's just so funny because, like, no one in our local meta, myself included, even when I played Voodoo in Convocation, no one played Voodoo in the way that people were online and abusing, where it's like just multiple possessions in a turn. Yeah. Right.
Well, we all felt bad doing it, but
yeah, he's too fun to do his spenders and stuff. Right. That was part of it. But another huge change, he lost his throw. And I think this might be the biggest change for me, because this is something I used even more than the possession.
Pretty tough, right?
Displacement's good in this game. We all know it. It wasn't an insane throw, but it was a good throw. He lost it, but he did gain a throw on his strike now, but it's a difficult throw to get. It's spiritual strength. It's two hits to get it, and it's size two or less. You can throw them short. So it's like, it's the worst throw you can get. It just is the worst throw you can get on any trigger, right? It's the hardest to get, and it's a size two. But I'm very happy he still has it. I'm glad that AMG wasn't like, I think if they took away his throw entirely too, he would just be still a good character in his affiliations. But I think that would have been a really big hurt to him, because he's, everything costs more. Daniel's worse. The throw's gone. So it's like, you got to give him something, you know, and that throw is just like you're not planning on it, but when it happens, you're happy, you know, which is nice on his strike.
It's got to just be a cherry on top type of thing. It shouldn't ever be something you're game planning for happening. Yeah, it's just if this happens, it's very good and I'm very into it. But if not, it's still what I want to do.
Now, I'm going to talk about possession, because possession had to be changed. I'm so happy it did. Being able to still count for secures is such a brilliant choice from AMG, and just having to drop your extracts. So once again, we're seeing this like steal thing get reined in a massive way through all these characters, and now the secure. So it's like, originally the most powerful use of possession was like, put it on Hulk, make him drop his hammer and walk away. And now Hulk's not counting on the gamma. That's wild, right? That's really powerful. That's gone. So like, now Hulk's upset because he lost his hammer, but Hulk's like, that's okay. I'll just keep punching people in the middle gamma. You know what I mean? And probably win it. So like, that's a massive, massive change. And when you change recall spirit to three, possession got so much worse, because now Voodoo can't, just like Black Cat, the possession is a very perfectly timed thing. Because if it's not perfectly timed, we know Voodoo's defenses are horrible without his Daniel, right? So if you can't pay the three to pull Daniel back, there's so many drawbacks, right? Which makes him feel really right. It makes him feel right in line with four threat, but also he's going to be a lot harder to play. A lot harder to play.
And that's kind of good, right? The Convocation characters aren't supposed to be easy to play. They're all powerful. Yeah. They're all very powerful wizards. It's supposed to be complicated.
I think Convocation took the biggest hit from Voodoo's nerf, because like Voodoo's Avengers, right? Voodoo is Midnight Suns, right? Like, those teams were abusing it more.
Yes.
Convocation just couldn't abuse it. It like couldn't abuse Voodoo's steel and all the stuff like they could. So inadvertently, Convocation got hit by this, because he was probably their strongest piece and kind of kept them afloat. But time will tell. I mean, we'll see what a Convocation gets in the future, you know, but this has just not been their meta for a long time.
They'll come back around. They'll probably also get freshened up. And, you know, I'm sorry, Convocation fans. It's not a big ticket.
Still difficult. It doesn't chink in the armor.
Yeah. It's not a big ticket affiliation. It won't be ever.
No.
And that's okay. It is a niche affiliation. I play Weapon X. I get it. It's just what it is. But I'm very happy for this change. The exploitation of Dr. Voodoo was very annoying and just terrible to play against.
Yep. It's one of those, if it's creating a negative play experience, it just has to be changed, right? Like, whether or not what's happening. So let's move on from Voodoo, because I'm sure it'll come up more in the future. And let's talk about someone that I've played a lot, and I'm very happy about this change. So Electra got one gainer power on her ancient throwing blade. So now when she throws her ancient throwing blades from range three, she gains one power. She does not have a true strike still, but she also still has Out for Blood. When she deals damage, she gains additional power, right? So it kind of gets around her not having a true strike, but now that she has a gainer, things have changed dramatically, Chris, because now you can potentially, very thematically, like Electra, throw your blades range three and then teleport to the opponent with the assassin step, right? You can actually afford to do that more often now, right? Which is great. And once again, Chris, I think this is very similar to Daredevil, where it's like, if you ignore Daredevil, if you ignored Elektra, they weren't doing that much because they had all the stuff to pay for that they couldn't pay for, right? And like, it's very cool that Elektra got this change, because now you actually have to pay attention to how much power does she have? Can she ancient throwing blades one or two times to get up to that impale? I got to be very aware of this. And keeping with that thought, it's like her physical defense went up to 4 as well, which it should have been the whole time. So happy it did thematically. And also, so now we've got Daredevil, Shadowlands Daredevil, and Elektra all up to 4 physical defense,
which is good. And also the fact that she is now just a character you can think about playing without having to plan too much for how to get her to work. She's just going to work on her own merits table, because Impale is still incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
It's insane. I've said it before. Impale is one of the best spenders in the game
for sure.
And now she can actually get to it. And now she can do things other than Impale. So I'm very excited about this change. I think it's going to shake up a lot of things. We just continue to get more and more very quality 4 threats. They're just different styles of different tools, right?
Oh, absolutely. And now she feels like she can do what she wants to do in her car, like Chris said, and bring the value of those grunts, make it worth it, right? Before, it was like the question of like, well, I'm just playing Shadowlands Daredevil because he's just more consistent, right?
Right.
If I want those grunts. So now if you want those grunts, you're getting a different character than Shadowlands Daredevil, which I think is amazing. And she's the only character in the Defenders roster that has grunts that's affiliated. So that's very cool as well. So now thematically, you can bring her with Classic Daredevil to give access to grunts in your Classic Daredevil-led Marvel Knights team. And I think that's very cool.
It's huge.
That's actually absolutely huge, because it's a thematic win and also like a gameplay win, because originally people were playing her maybe with Shadowlands and you had to share the grunts, and that's just not easy to do. It's not fun. I was having a lot of fun with her in Convocation. She got a little bit better for Convocation, so that's also really cool. So there's a lot of things going on. I'm really excited to see her more on the table and bringing her right back in Hellfire, things like that. So I love the way Miss Nachios is looking, and we'll see where this expands in the future. All those Elektra mains, you need to come out and start showing the power of this character, you know? And I think the Gainer is going to be really helpful in doing that. And it's a nudge, and a nudge is good, because she needs another nudge in the future. She can get one.
Absolutely. These can all be touched up again whenever they do another pass. We'll see when that is. I don't want to venture any guesses yet.
I still would like her to have some other defensive tech than the martial prowess, but I get them trying to like keep her not too defensive, because she does do so much damage.
She does, and she's still got stealth. So
yeah,
Impale being able to move medium afterwards, you are going to be able to get that big hit off and then kind of get out of danger a little bit. But yeah, it's gonna take some planning.
Yeah, it's just a huge thematic miss to me that she's a martial artist. But still,
that might be too much, man. That might be too good. Yeah,
you would have changed something else if you gave her martial artist,
because she's got the grunts on top of everything with this card, right? You have to remember
that's always the tough part, 100%. And that's why I think why she got given the wrong pass the initial time, was because of the grunts. Same.
Overvalued the grunts.
Well, Chris, let's talk about this rework of Hela, the Queen of Hell. So it's no shock to you guys. We've been listening to our show since all the way 2019, 2020. Chris and I love this sculpt and we love this character. And that's very apparent in that episode. I mean, we went through all of Hela's lore and how cool she is and how she's like part of Asgard, but how much she does outside of Asgard, right? All the stuff with Mephisto, everything, right? Like, it's kind of insane.
She's been around for a long time and she's such a good character design. And when there were kind of, less big villains at one point, she would get used a lot more. And I'm happy that she's kind of seen a resurgence with the Thor movies, the success of the Thor movies. So it's very great. Cool. And the sculpt remains awesome.
Oh, it certainly does. And let's talk about all her changes on this, rework for her. So her blade, her strike, went to range 3, which I think is very inspired and awesome. Very good. Thematic. She's supposed to be kind of swiftly moving into combat with this long blade and getting to people. So the magic is there. Claim Soul costs 1 less power, which I think is huge, because I think her Claim Soul range 4 turret attack is just the main set of play you're going to do with her. Keep your soul tokens up, shoot people. That's kind of her play style, and that's kind of what we did in the past with her. Army of Hell does not work on Claim Soul anymore. So let's read Army of Hell. Discard 1 or more captured soul tokens during the next Hellforged Blade or Reign of Hell attack. Add 1 die for each captured soul used this way. So basically, They reined it in. They made Army of Hell better in a way, but they also were like, you can't claim soul to like get a soul back after you do this ability, right? So this is a, you're claiming souls with your dark magic, and then you're using your physical attacks with the claimed souls to make them better, right? So they kind of, that's a quality of life change, which I think is very good. Additionally, they gave her a new superpower, which is awesome. It's a active superpower called Death's Embrace, costs 2 power, rightfully so. Choose an enemy character within range 3. Advance the character towards Hela short. Then if this character is within range 1 of the chosen character, so if the chosen character ended up within range 1 of Hela, roll 4 dice. For each crit and wild in the result, the chosen character suffers 1 damage. For each damage suffered on the enemy this way, Hela may remove 1 damage this way. The superpower can only use once per turn. Now, this is not super explosive, Chris. At the end of the day, this is like a reverse charge, which is great. And there's, well, there's a bonus.
For sure.
Displacement, and it's also a way for Hela to double tap, right?
It is a way for her to double tap. Not only that, but it is a way for her to get a little bit of healing. She needs it on this kit. They kept her health is only 10. It's a 6 and 4. 6 healthy, 4 injured.
Yeah.
So this is, I would say, pretty important in her kit. You might not use it every turn or every round, but
right,
you're going to need to plan on using this for sure to keep her in the fight, to keep her there, to keep her on the board for that extra turn, or keep her up one more turn before she gets flipped to her injured side, something like that, for that extra point on the secure.
I think
it's very, very important, but it's also not the most important thing. I don't know. It's very interesting. It's integral to her kit, but soul is what you're doing, right?
Yeah, what I was saying is like, you're not banking on the heal, but a couple heals is going to be nice because you inadvertently got her up to a certain health threshold she didn't have when the game started, which is great. So I think you're going to do it for that. But really what you're doing it for is what we said, the displacement.
The displacement's the big point.
It's a bow, right? And also the ability to double tap now to keep your action economy good with Hela because she doesn't have any true action economy, right? Additionally, she loses this on her injured side, right? So you are going to want to do this on the front side to stay on the front side as long as possible, because she couldn't have this on the injured side. It'd be too good, because she does, of course, have the Queen of Hell on her injured side, which is her version of exceptional healing, which is amazing. So it's like she can't have both, but it delays her getting to the back longer. And when she gets to the back, she has to play much safer, keep those souls up, not be as aggressive with her spending of the souls. So I think it's absolutely amazing. I think she slots right back into those Midnight Suns rosters. I think she slots right back into those Asgard rosters. She's now a tool on your Asgard belt too, where it's like, keep in mind, Eyes on the Prize is still in the game. It's an amazing card, and her and Bill can use it so effectively because they can Eyes on the Prize with their medium movement, medium size base, to grab something safely. What's cool about Hela is she can grab something safely and then immediately top around two, start double shooting stuff with her turret. When Bill sometimes just doesn't have the range, quite frankly, right, to do that, right?
A lot of times when you make that play with Bill, he is just, okay.
He's kind of sitting there too.
I see what you're doing with Bill. You can just have that whole area to yourself.
100%. So one of me and Chris's favorite sculpts in the game, I mean, I spent like 4 hours on her base alone. It's one of those things where it's like, it took a long time, but it was worth it just to build that underworld hell skull basing out that I did. So I'm really excited to get her back more on the table. And I think she's very cool. And we'll see how much these changes really matter for her. I mean, it's all just good, right? All ups, no downs. So
all ups, no downs.
And at the end of the day, she's a character that gets 2 power turn, defenses of 4/4/4, that moves medium with a medium base. What's not to love, right? Like at the end of the day, she's just a solid ball of stats that you can apply each turn. Very cool, right? I mean, maybe she slots into that in Human's team, right? Because she gets 2 power turn. Time will tell. So very cool stuff.
I know.
But we got to move on, Chris, because we got some big stuff coming up, and we got to move on to Malekith the Accursed.
Ah, and the big winner on this one is the community, because Malekith needed it, man. This is great.
And we were pretty gun shy in our episode because it's like we didn't talk about all the erratas yet because we were waiting for coming.
We knew they were coming at some point. Yeah.
So he lost his Pierce on his Blade at Midnight. I think that's huge. It's still an amazing strike. 7 dice, right? Energy. Great. But he lost the Pierce, which just can make it that much more explosive. His Ferocity throw is now has a size restriction. So now when you commit to the Ferocity, if the character is bigger than size 3, you're just not throwing them, which is absolutely huge. And he lost 1 stamina on his front and lost 1 stamina on his back. So now his health pool is 9 and 7, respectively, putting him at 16. That's a big difference.
Yeah, this is a massive difference. And they touched on this while talking about him during the panel. And that's Malekith is the kind of bully that is going to be picking on wide teams. He's out there to pick on three threats now, right?
Yeah.
That Sam, that wide Sam list, or even shoot, man, my wide weapon X, you know, just this is a nightmare for them.
Size threes in there, yeah.
Just a lot, yeah. A lot of size twos, a lot of size threes, and a lot of five health, six health characters that Malekith can just destroy. But now he's not the ubiquitous, just take him every game. He's not very good into the Hulks, into the Immortal Hulks, Dormammu, you know, these big, oh my gosh.
That was silly.
These massive, you know, single entity characters that are just big, these big five, six, seven, eight threats.
Yep.
He's not going to go toe to toe with them and single-handedly destroy your swarm army. So he's kind of an anti-wide tool now. He's still very good. You're still going to see him. It's just he has a specific place now, more so. He can, I mean, you're still going to spike and get rid of Hulks and things. Like, it's going to happen. He's not unplayable. He's still an awesome character.
100%.
Just actually has some limits now, and it's very, very good.
He's finally getting reined in. It's really nice. Well, moving on, Chris, we got two quick, subtle changes, quality of life. Ronan the Accuser, a character that you and I really do love so much, got two more stamina, so he's up to 14 now, which is amazing. Ronan's still good. I don't know why people don't play him, but he's still good.
We're not the first ones to say it, and we're not going to be the last ones to say it. Ronan is better than the community gives him credit for, and you guys should seriously try him in his affiliated spots.
When he's unique, too. Like, he's a guy who helps you deal with big characters, who's not a big character himself, right? So that's very unique. But moving on from Ronan, we've got Taskmaster Anthony Masters. He has been watching everybody else, and he has gained the one power shield throw gainer, right?
Love it.
That's all he got?
Absolutely love it.
He's a great character. He's one of these characters that leaves the game for a while, then comes back, and people are always shocked, and he's amazing. He's amazing in his teams. I think he's an amazing criminal. He's even better criminal now, because now those turns where people aren't coming into his range of influence at range two, he's still throwing shields, still counting as two on that secure, and he's building more power for the all according to plan turn. Like, a lot more power, because these shield throws are going to add up, and he's going to help you pay for that, because you're fine with it, right?
He doesn't have a lot to spend power on either.
No.
So that power is just, he's going to be able to do that mnemonic device a lot, which is a great attack. Really lets him, against the right characters, really lets him swing above his weight class.
One of the best spenders, and, like, for a three threat like that, yeah, right?
Yeah. And he's tanky on top of it. So, I mean, now he's a potential power battery for your tactics cards on top of these other things. All of this in a three threat is pretty nice. I think Taskmaster is good.
Yeah. He's always been good. And, like, this subtle change just makes him more playable, right? Which is great. Brings him in line with the game design going forward. They made a decision, Sam Wilson onward, where it's like all shield throws are going to give me one power, right? And, like, Steve was changed, right? Steve was retroactively changed. And then, of course, Red Guardian got it. It's like all these shield throws, you just know how they work. And you learn them and you do good stuff. And keep in mind, Taskmaster is still one of the best tools in the game to deal against rapid fire models, right? Because he's just getting better and better every time you attack him with that intuitive pattern recognition. So he's always a threat. Like, rapid fire stuff starts showing up, you can slot him in your list. But we got to move on, Chris, to the change I wanted the most, and it happened. You were talking about Voodoo earlier. Yeah, Voodoo was strong. He could do good stuff. Thanos is a way worse offender of non-interactive play. The Cosmic Portal was changed to once per turn. Massive. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, Thanos could just rearrange your entire board without rolling dice if needed. And then if you roll dice and his dice went well on top of that, you're extra trouble because maybe he got some throws on those punches.
I know.
And then he Cosmic Portaled the other people away. He felt like Thanos. He felt absolutely oppressive, but it needed to be reined in for the sake of our game and our competitive discussions, right? And to make him viable. And what's crazy, Chris, is this all happened, and here I am looking at the banned and restricted list, and I see that all gems are now unrestricted. So in a way, Thanos was nerfed with his Cosmic Portal, but then he was buffed again because of the gems. So it's like they threw him a bone, and a really big bone. And I actually really do love the gems change, though I am kind of scared on the Thanos side of things.
I'm a little worried that the gems change means Thanos is still OP, just in a different way. But
he's splashed everywhere again.
Time will tell.
I mean, he will be splashed everywhere again, and that's going to be a problem in itself. But, you know, as he should, he is Thanos. I wanted one more change on Thanos. I wanted his reduction to actually cost something, because it is reduced down to zero. He's the only zero in the game where it's like for free, right? He should never lose his gems ability. Like, it's too good. Like, it's too paramount to his character of gems are free for him, right? But like, he's just so hard to balance because he is so powerful in the lore and also the way the gems are designed. But I am very happy at the end of the day, because Ma, Corvus, they were really paying for the sins of Thanos of the restricted slots, right? And now Ma and Corvus can be played viably again all over the place. And I don't think that's bad for the game, because I think they're perfectly in line with their power level. But it was just silly to not be able to play. Like, if I'm an X-Men player that wants to play Ebony Maw, or I'm a Corvus leadership Black Order player who wants to play Ebony Maw with the gym, I'm punished for how powerful Thanos is with the space gym, right? I can't play Maw with the space gym. Same goes with Loki. Loki, early on in this game's life cycle, you could bring gems on him, and he was very awesome, and people still do.
Yes.
And the one to play Loki with gems were being punished as well. So the Asgard, Avengers players, things like that.
I haven't even thought about the gem change, how that affects Loki ruining my life again. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
He's very frustrating to play against if you don't play against him often. Getting used to that Loki bubble is tough, man. So I think people breaking him back out is going to throw some monkey wrenches into some plans.
Yeah, Mind Loki and Space Loki, like, have always been good, right? So it's 100% your play style. Let's move on from Thanos, because I think we don't want to get didactic with, you know, everyone talking about Thanos, and we'll see where he shakes out. But let's talk about a really cool change, a very strong buff overnight that we've been hoping has been coming for a while.
I think this one is almost more impactful to me, just because I'm so excited to see Asgardians more often again. Because between this and the Hela change, I think they're back, baby.
I mean, I'm happy to see Asgardians for the life of the game, but Asgardians are really frustrating to play against, you know, if their dice are hitting. And, you know, we just talked about in a recent episode, like, they're at the top of my docket, and they were before the Thor change. And now it's like, okay, expedite that. Let's talk about the Thor change. He's got some subtle changes that just make him a little bit better. He got one more Mystic Defense, so now he's up to 444, which makes sense. I mean, if Hela is 444, if Beta Ray Bill's 444, why was Thor 443, right? So once again, they've made decisions in the game's life cycle. Thor's brought up to those decisions, right? Because he is a five threat version of those characters in a lot of ways. So he gained one more stamina on his healthy side, which is excellent. So it's bringing him up to 7 on the front, which we absolutely love. He's going to be healthier longer. God of Thunder now shocks and costs 2 less. So the Spender was virtually unplayable for it, because it's just too costly and didn't do anything except maybe give you an upside of hitting multiple models in the perfect situation. But that didn't happen very often because it is an A2. And most importantly of all, Chris, he got immunity to stun and shock.
That's pretty massive for him, actually.
The stun is like huge. I know he could like Asgard it off, right? Because we love the Asgard leadership.
Have to.
Yeah.
Like, why Asgard it off if you can be immune to it? Come on.
This is amazing. These are amazing changes. I'm terrified to see Thor and Steve Avengers again.
Oh, absolutely. I know. It's like, that's probably
the most egregious thing that's come out of this. But we should see Thor and the Avengers kind of running the table thematically, right? From time to time. We should see Thor and Asgard be able to use the leadership more. Like, this is all good changes. He's still dice dependent on his 4 Asgard, but everything got better. And I also think you're going to be able to God of Thunder now and not be as worried about it. Because the auto shock is nice.
Auto shock is very nice.
Chris, like, walk into the enemy's team on the middle gamma, shock 4 models. Oh, it didn't really do any damage. Well, that's kind of a bummer, but who cares? I shocked 4 models.
Yeah, they're rolling 8 less dice next turn. That's pretty good. It's going to be fun. He's going to be good. I'm excited to see what the Asgardian teams kind of look like now, what the squad lists look like.
For sure.
What splashes people are thinking. It's going to be fun to watch that evolve. Jesse, we got to move on to another change. And I personally am into this change. I know some people are not, but
no, I think it's really healthy for the life of the game. I mean, obviously, it's a huge hit for Shield, but outside of that,
Shield's fixing to get so many good things coming their way. And
it's great for everywhere else he was brought, right? So,
this does hurt Shield a little bit, but I think they'll be able to recover. I really, really do.
Yeah,
but
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Bucky Winter Barnes. Soldier. So his rapid fire is now triggering on a wild instead of a hit. So range 5, rapid fire. a little harder to get now. So that's extremely good, because that was just oppressively annoying to play against.
So good.
And then on his Spender, Red Fury, the push is now restricted to a size 3, which it should have been in the first place. Should have never been an unlimited push. And now we're there. This is great.
Yeah, and if you don't push them, you don't get the assault rifle now as well, which was already the case. There was no push restriction. But now that there is a push restriction, keep that in mind. So if you are spinnering a big boy character, you're just going to get the arm punch and you're not going to get the pull out the rifle. So yeah, very good change for Bucky, I think needed. I've played against Bucky since these changes and he's still performed well because
I'm sure he's still very good, man.
Person rolled well and got wilds. But also with dice fixing, he's still really good. So those teams that give dice fixing, Sentinel Prime, he's still very good, right? But I do think this is interesting with tiny buff to Taskmaster that Bucky got brought down. So it's like, now it's like, which rogue agent do you really want? Right. So that's also, I think, just good for the life of the game. Cause the answer for a while now is, I think half the reason Taskmaster has been gone is that the answer was, well, Bucky all day, all the time.
Yeah. It was, there was no question. He was the best at this role.
Yeah.
Without just,
I mean, I think some criminal players were playing him instead of Taskmaster, despite Taskmaster being affiliated, which I disagree with, but
that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, that shouldn't happen thematically. So he still has Hydro Tactics. He still has Spetnaz training. So be very careful. Hydro Tactics is still insane. So yes, he got brought down a lot, but he can still do amazing things. So just keep an eye on him. But let's move on, Chris, to a quick change. Wong, the MCU Sorcerer Supreme, his physical defense went up by 1, which thematically makes sense. Now he's 333. That just makes more sense overall. And his innate ability, Servant to the Sorcerer Supreme, while within range 3 of an allied Stephen Vincent Strange, add 1 die to the defense roll. So he works with all Stranges. He now works with Supreme Strange, which I absolutely love. So this is a tiny, tiny, tiny buff for Convocation. And
well, I think this is great for defenders as well.
Yeah,
because of course. Now you're not
even locked, Midnight Suns.
Yeah, you're not locked into one Stephen Strange to play the defenders. You're not locked into any Stephen Strange to play the defenders anymore. Getting that second leadership was absolutely massive for them. So now
it's just this tweak.
Yeah. So now Killy Strange can come with you, and so can Wong. I mean, I just think Wong is stapled to either Doctor Strange at this point. He's their power gem.
Yeah, it should have been like that the whole time, right? Like, and so that was clearly something that AMG probably designed Wong before the Supreme Strange, and
just a miswording was all it was, and they've corrected it. So good on them.
Really good on them. Let's move on, Chris, to all the changes that you and I have been holding our tongue this whole time about, because now we're getting into the alphabet restarting over with mutants, which I thought was fun that AMG just did that.
This game, the player base on this game is straight up split down the middle sometimes with, I'm so sick of hearing about mutants and I only play mutants. So it's pretty interesting.
Or just, I love mutants. There's people that love mutants that don't even necessarily play them.
I play them right now, but I'm about to not be playing them. And I do love mutants, but I don't know. I'm not a mutant only player. That's for sure. They do get me very excited. And I am extremely excited about this first character we're going to talk about. I'm excited about all of them, actually. So let's talk about it. Cable, worst possible future man. One of my favorite characters in Marvel. He has gained 1 stamina on his front side. His builder, his 5 range 5 strength 5 builder gets 2 rerolls if you're within range 3 of the target, which I think is wonderful, because over the years of playing Cable, it took me longer than it should have, but I did finally realize he needs to be up in the fight. He needs to be in that Gambit Goldilocks zone of just outside of 2, but within 3 for a lot of his fights. That's kind of where that's his sweet spot. And now it's baked into his kit that is his sweet spot. He gets even better.
Used to play him
better.
Really safe.
We used to play him.
I was like, Chris, you really got to get him up in there.
I played him like he was Rocket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just too good when he's in the fray.
You're 100% correct. And with Ascani-san costing 1 less, it's now usable on his front side, I think.
Yeah, it lost the stagger. It is a balancing act there.
Well, the stagger was only on the backside, I believe. Yeah,
but they just lost it wholly.
And that's fine. That's fine with me. I wish it was still there on the backside, but you're not really incentivized to get Cable hurt anymore.
Right.
So you're kind of okay with using Ascani-San on the front side and trying to stay healthy for those secures. Because he is kind of a secure monster with those terrain throws, with a medium base, with being able to add defense dice to his own roles. He's just a monster. And now, Jesse, we have to talk about the coup de grace on this card.
That's right. New Wetworks leadership ability.
The X-Force leadership has been reworked. Each allied character may reroll one die in their attack rolls once per turn. Okay, that's the same. Now we're going to get into the new, including skull results. So now we can reroll these skulls. This is fantastic. Additionally, if the character does utilize this reroll and the enemy character is within range 3, the enemy character does not benefit from cover during the attack. So once again, you want to be in that Goldilocks zone.
Yep.
X-Force affiliated is a bunch of characters with range 3, range 2 attacks. It's a bunch of brawlers, a bunch of damage dealers. So being able to get rid of that cover for, you know, very, very good players like yourself that utilize cover and get that extra defense dice to keep those characters around, you have a tool against that. And there's not many tools against that in the game. Giving it to your whole squad once a turn, really, really cool. So this is a very big improvement for X-Force, not only in the fact that their leader is not kind of, you're not really, it doesn't feel as much as a tax to run Cable anymore.
I don't think it's tax at all. I think this leadership's insane.
I think his leadership's insane, but I think he stands up on his own as a 5. I think you can splash him. I love splashing him in, ubiquitous Steve Rogers Avengers.
People already did, yeah. He's so good.
It already happened. But now I think you splash him in. I think you run him in your 10, in your Scott, in your new and improved Scott Summers leadership.
We'll talk about that. I think you run
him in your 10 in a lot of these builder type factions. If he's got power coming into him outside of the power phase and outside of getting hit and doing attacks, he's going to be able to be doing these throws a lot more often. He's going to be able to be passing out telekinetic shields to your entire team far more often. I just think he's so much more usable, and you're getting the full effect of his 5 threat out of him now. And I'm very, very excited to get him back on the table.
Oh, absolutely. Me as well. And let's talk about this. One of the coolest parts of the Wetworks, like remove the cover thing, Chris, is it's like, and I don't see a lot of people talking about this, but this is the first thought I had where it's like, okay, yeah, it's once per turn. You've always got to keep that in mind with X-Force. That's actually, it's an easy leadership. It's very easy leadership. But the hard part is it the first attack or the second attack? And that does matter. And you roll your initial die pools, you explode, both of you explode your crits, and then you've got information. You've got a question to ask yourself. So if your opponent rolled really bad initially, but they're in that cover spot, that might be the best time to use this because it's like a pierce.
100%.
So you don't necessarily want to do it. Certain times you're just not going to do it, right? But other times you need to be looking at like, okay, a reroll is great. I might get my incinerate, whatever. I might get my pierce on Laura Kinney, whatever it is. But it's like more like, oh, I'm automatically removing a defense size they would flip to defense, right? Because they are in cover. So it's also another way for you to be like, well, you know what? I'm showing 5 results. Even if I don't roll into my 6th result, who cares? Because they're not getting one block, right? So yeah, it removes cover and that's cool for certain character interactions and stuff like that. But more importantly, it's like a slightly weaker pierce. And that's really cool because a lot of these X-Force characters have pierce. So now you're like cooking with gas where it's like, oh, you didn't get your cover. But I also like, I'm attacking with Laura Kinney at range 3 with my spender with pierce. Like there's a lot of things where it's like, I don't know. I think it's a cool question now, more than just the reroll. It's like, sometimes it's just like, is the cover more impactful than even the reroll, right? So there's a lot. And then obviously if you got the reroll, well, now you got a double and that is a pierce, right? It is a pierce because you got an additional hit and you got no defense from that modification from them. So well, time will tell and we'll see interactions with this, but I think it's very good. And, you know, Cable's always been a really amazing character. We've talked about this on the show a lot. He just needed a slight tweak to be able to spend everything on his card because his card is incredible. Just like Scott Summers, these Summers guys have amazing kits, just amazing options, right? They just need a little bit more power. And I'm very happy that AMG did not, I don't know. They could have gone a lot of different directions with this. We talked about what if the plasma rifle went up to six? What if the incinerate was auto? All these things. I think this is the best version because it rewards the good players, but doesn't make Cable like a menace where it's like, oh, Cable's now in Steve and he auto incinerates from range five. You know, like that would just be a bad for the life of the game, right? You still got to get the wild to get the incinerate, but now you're kind of rolling seven dice and you're range three, which is really scary.
It's extremely scary. And I do like the design space we're kind of moving into with double rerolls on a lot of these cards. It's
neat.
It's very good.
Well, let's move on to one of my main mans over here, Peter Rasputin.
This guy.
He's a monster now. Chris and I have played a lot.
We were two of the only people in the community saying Colossus is not, like, Colossus is good before this change.
Well, and I think X-Men Red proved it, right? To be honest, X-Men Red did, which I'm very happy to have helped get out there. But Colossus lost his short move and gained a medium move. That should have been the whole time. He got a new clause on his superpower of organic steel. So, of course, organic steel, he's got the reduction by one to a minimum one. But additionally, this character cannot be pushed by enemy effects. He's needed this the whole time.
Fantastic.
Thematically and playstyle-wise. They also nerfed his bodyguard, but that's okay because it needed to happen with the changes to his movement. They changed his bodyguard to the Luke Cage taunt instead. So he does have to be range two of his opponents to trigger his bodyguard, which is fine.
That's thematically better.
He's jumping in front of the way, right? Like he's deep in the fight.
Yes, thematically better. He's up in that face, or thematically, he's up in their face. He's swinging around. He's trying to get that X slam off. This just works better. And I think I know that it's technically not as good because it's not as easy to plan around and people can just kind of use a movement action to get out of your range, but then they use the movement action.
Sure. It's,
you know, you still won. You still took something away from them. So all in all, good change. I think he's a monster. He's now encouraged to just be setting the front line for your team. And that's exactly what he should have been doing the whole time.
Oh, and X-Slam got increased to range three, which is much needed.
Massive,
right?
Dude. And so, now that stagger on X-Slam, you're going to be seeing that a lot more. You're going to
get scared.
Seven dice, you're going to roll a wild more often than not, right?
Yeah. So
Colossus is really good. He's in my X-Force list. Fastball Special is in my X-Force list.
You know, just, he's in my X-Men.
Yeah, of course he is. There's no way to not. And I mean, we'll have a big enough mutant roster of really, really good mutants that...
Oh, hard decisions are already being made, yeah.
They're already being made, but soon it's going to be even harder. So I'm very, very excited to be talking about where all these mutants fit into the various leaderships in the future.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump on to Cyclops. Scott Summers, one of me and Chris's favorite characters here on the show. We talk about him a lot.
Oh, I love him. Everyone knows this.
No, we really do actually love him. We went through this in our latest After Dark. The people that don't subscribe to After Dark don't know that, but you know,
we actually had a really good talk,
about what Scott brings to the Marvel Universe and just
storytelling in general and the options that a character like Scott Summers brings to a writer and even an artist. So yeah, ultimately, I'm not a fan of Scott Summers in universe, but I love Scott Summers.
Like in this.
The fact that he's in the universe is very, very good for pop culture comics.
Yeah, 100%. He's amazing. So let's talk about Scott Summers and how he got tweaked in a very cool way. So he got a size 3 push on his strike. He also got a new trigger on his strike, Speed of Sight. It's a hit in a wild, so it's difficult to get. But after the attack is resolved, this character may make an additional optic blast attack strike. The attack may not target the original character and does not have the Speed of Sight rule. So first of all, very thematically, this is Scott doing the double shoot.
Yeah.
You know, we all know it. We love it. But hard to get off. I've already been playing a lot with Scott. And, you know, this doesn't happen that often. It's kind of like a Sam Wilson, Steve Rogers shield throw. But it's like more restrictive the distance. Because instead of measuring like the ricochet from the person you just shot and you're ricocheting to someone behind them or the side of them, Scott's just double shooting from his base, right? Twice. So you've got to have two people even in line of sight. To do this, keep that in mind. You just can't trigger it, right? Ricochet would have been better, but I get why they don't want to give Scott Ricochet.
Yeah, that would have been too much. I think they perfectly balance this with
the theme is right.
Yeah, with the not being able to target the original character, I think is the perfect little clause that made that very, very just right.
100%. And keeping with his changes, very subtle. Optic Devastation got a new wild trigger. The original wild trigger was so bad, I don't even think it ever really came up. Suppression. After each attack is resolved, the target character loses one power for each wild in the attack roll. So this is really good with the beam, because now you're not fishing for like explosive damage necessarily. You could just like completely neuter the power of multiple characters in theory, right? It's not something you're looking for, but it's something you're really happy to get. And I do enjoy it a lot.
It is based on rolling wilds. So
yeah,
don't plan on it. But if you don't get the kill like you were wanting, but you get rid of two or three power off the character, I think that's better than nothing and could potentially be better than taking them off the table.
So all of his superpowers stayed the same, but X-Men Blue was completely reworked, which is extremely exciting.
It's so nice.
Let's talk about it real quick. So when an allied character deals damage to an enemy character with an attack, another allied character within range 5 of that attacking ally, so the guy who was attacking who dealt the damage, now someone within range 5 of them gains one power. After the attack is resolved, a character may gain only one power as a result of this leadership ability per turn. So very cool. It's like this like mix of Magneto Brotherhood and A-Force, right? Where it's like this kind of, right. it's a variation of those things. I still think A-Force is much better because it's just like the onus is not on dealing damage. It's on your opponent doing things, which they already want to do. You get to choose exactly where it goes.
There's no range restriction. There's no range restriction. Huge.
Same with Magneto. There's no range restriction, but this is a way better leadership. This is absolutely amazing compared to what it used to be. And it's a good flex for Storm when the crisis is not right, right? And I think Scott, at the end of the day, yeah, you need to deal damage to get this off. But once you start dealing damage, this snowballs very quickly, right? Because you're doing more spenders, you're doing more attacks, you're getting more damage off as the game goes on. So then it's feeding itself better. So it is a little bit early game dependent, but after that early game lull, you're cooking with gas. I mean, I think it's really cool. And I think it's very X-Men Blue because what I've been using this, Chris, I've been practicing this X-Men Blue and really enjoying it. It used to be kind of a attrition leadership. It's no longer that. Yes, you have to deal damage to get this off, but now it's kind of like you've also got to think about, I think the best ability of this is like, well, Colossus is in the fray. He just dealt a damage and passed one power back to Scott. Scott now has field leader online for his turn, right? When he didn't have that before. So it's very keeping this X-Men thing going, X-Men being always hard to play with their leaderships. It's another one of those new ones, hard to play with their leaderships because it sounds easy. Range 5 is massive. That's great. But really it's like the Inhumans where it's like activation order matters, passing power what times matters, the range 5 matters. Once again, it's harder to use than in humans too, right? So I think it's very cool, but time will tell how good it actually ends up being, right?
So unlike some of these other leaderships where a character can only get one power per round, this is one power per turn. So Cyclops can only receive power from Colossus once, but then he can receive a power from Wolverine.
Yeah,
your next activation, if I'm reading it correct.
Or the theme is even better because it's like Scott's moving up. He's optic blasting twice and he's given power to people in the back line and deployment, right? So they can get up to the table faster. Very thematic of the character and his playstyle of X-Men Blue in the comics, right? So,
man, think of how much power you could get passed out after a good beam attack. Pretty cool stuff to think about, folks.
It's explosive stuff. Well, let's talk about how Deadpool changed, and Chris is very excited about it.
So excited about this.
Similar to these other characters, Deadpool was one of those characters where he has a really awesome kit. He was just like a power or two away from doing everything, right? And now he has that power too.
He definitely has that power now. He's good. He's really good.
So his stab katana attack, his range 2, got stab, very difficult to get off, double wild. But if you get the double wild off, you get to make another strike for free, which is absolutely incredible. It's like a rapid fire on a strike. So just neat. Bucky's like, okay, so what?
I know, right?
But his bang got better. So his bang, which is already like his main play style anyways, after the attack is resolved, he gains one power. So he got a gainer on his bang. We're seeing a lot of these gainers showing up today, which is excellent. And then he lost like the long list of bang, bang, bangs, but he still has bang, bang, which is a hit in a while to get another bang. So this is really cool, Chris, because, you know, he's got his own rapid fire. This is a gainer, you know, it is what it is. But I mean, you keep this going, you see the synergies with the bang and the gainer now, because he got a new superpower. You can't skip. You can't spell legendary without leg day. Cost 2 power. Place Deadpool within range 2 of his current position. This can be used only once per turn. So now, no matter what, you can pretty much always bang, bang, place, or bang one time and place, right, if you had a power.
Yeah, move. Round 1 is now move bang place.
Isn't that crazy?
It's great. He's going to be really, really good.
And everything already stayed the same that was so amazing. I mean, he has these maximum effort. His spender on the back is very strong. Him counting is healthy on his underside, very strong. And Merc with the mouth, I swear, it's one of the best superpowers in the game. It's very much like witty banter, where it's just like you're doing stuff to your opponent during their turn, or you're doing stuff to their opponent to make them not be able to do their cool stuff and get their cool abilities. I think now he's very serious, Chris, like as a control piece, because at worst, you can just bang, bang, Merc with the mouth someone every turn.
100%. Merc with the mouth is
crazy
real right now, especially, I mean, I've been talking about Root and like trying to play the power game with your opponent.
Yeah, this is better than Root.
Through this day, and this is, or through this episode, and this is the guy that can do it the best right now. I mean, three power, they lose two. It's, and he can get to that three power reliably every turn now. So
you could
almost
do it twice
every turn.
In a turn too, as long as two separate targets too.
Oh, so. Right.
So it's crazy. Like this is like, this might as well be a stagger on a lot of characters, right? Where it's like, okay, Bill, I'll happily send Deadpool on Bill's flank and take away his throw every time.
Absolutely.
Or, okay, Malekith, I'm going to get Deadpool in the fray because he's going to stay healthy anyways when he's injured. And I'm going to remove Malekith's ferocity every turn that I possibly can. Cause it's a stagger essentially for Malekith. Right. So there's so many, you could apply that to so many abilities. I mean, this is even really powerful against like models like the Web Warriors, take away their web swing. There's all so many things.
I mean, just you see when Web Warriors are planning their big turn, right? There's a few affiliations where you can see them planning for their big tactics card turn. And this just helps you like find their battery, get rid of two power. Now that turn is a lot harder for them to figure out.
Good in Weapon X and X-Force, and now he just got better because Weapon X and X-Force both just got better in general because their models are getting better. And then now the X-Force leadership is better too, right? So it's like, yeah. Okay, Deadpool is just real. He's just real, and he should be. Like, he's not a character that Chris and I love.
There's a version of Deadpool that I absolutely adore.
Oh, I know. Same.
That version has just been gone for many, many years now, and that's okay. Things change. Yeah, there's plenty of other characters for me to like. It's okay.
Let's move on to another character that we like, Jean Grey, a character that we've played a lot, Chris, and she got some quality of life changes that really, I think, help her sing. So she got a pierce on her psionic bolt strike. It's a skull pierce, which is obviously weaker than a wild because it's not like a double netting of stuff, but bad dice do stuff for her now, which is very cool.
That's good. It kind of doesn't work with the X-Force affiliation very well.
No.
At all. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're going to be seeing Jean in X-Force, but that's okay. I think you're going to be seeing her a lot of other places.
Yep. So additionally, her spender, the telekinetic force, which is an awesome spender, went down from 6 to 5 respectively, which is incredible. A very powerful spender. But most importantly of all, Chris, oh my gosh, so exciting. During the power phase, this character gains 2 additional powers. So she gets 3 massive power every turn. She's up there, you know, with the best of them. Like she's a Asgardian that gets more power. She's creeping up on Hulk, you know, like there's cool stuff where it's, I think it makes perfect sense. And keeping with the theme of this, like Jean should get more power in the power phase. It's Jean. Also, I love the theme they sneak in sometimes, Chris, with like mechanics and theme where it's like a skull pierce. Come on. We know what that is. Like that's like, that's Scarlet Witch, what she has, right? And like, that's just a little bit of the Dark Phoenix showing its face. And I don't know. I just, Jean's already such a hard character to play, but now that all she can pay for all of her superpowers round one is very helpful.
I think that is just massive that battlefield manipulation and matter transmutation are both online round one.
That's a big change.
That opens up, especially the matter transmutation, opens up just a lot of different possibilities on where you can get some of your characters for the beginning of round two. Especially if you're last activating with her, I think it could be nasty, nasty.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it quells people's fears too of being like, well, Emma's got some of this stuff and she's a 4 threat. Why does Jean, you know, and now Jean's like, well, I have more power, so I just do more of it and I do have more options. She had an amazing spender, a good strike. What's not to love? Jean is looking really strong. I'm very happy. We're about to complete the love triangle shortly and they all got improvements. So it's very powerful.
Well, yeah, Wolverine's legit.
Let's move on to Storm. Starting with the buffs, Eye of the Storm went down to 2. And I think this should have been the case the whole time. We kind of all talked about this, how Storm was a slightly lackluster three threat sometimes, even though she has awesome abilities when she has power. But she just had a hard time getting that power with that four dice strike and the Eye of the Storm. Now she's like Iron Man. It's like a Friday AI. She can buff up to six more readily, get this power back, spend her power effectively. And keeping with that theme of the buffs, Hurricane got one more strength. It's kind of worth it now. Originally, it was like an A2 of five dice. Okay.
It's pretty, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like the flight thing was super fun. I also like they added allied characters in range of this attack do not suffer damage from the attack. So it's an A2 that breaks the A2 rules, which I really like. Very cool. Keeping with Storm, where she breaks a lot of rules, which I think is so cool. She still has the super stealth, where she doesn't have stealth, but she has her version of stealth. So cards and abilities that remove stealth do not remove Storm's stealth because she's up in the sky and it's a completely different type of stealth, right? But now we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. Obviously, she has a massive nerf on the side of the leadership. So let's talk about the new Uncanny X-Men. Affiliation Gold. Once per round, you can use this leadership during an allied character's activation if it's not holding an objective token. If you do, the active character may spend one power. If it does, choose another allied character within range 2. Place the active character within range 1 of the allied character. The Stormhop costs 1 now. We'll get into that in a second. Additionally, when an enemy character targets an allied character with an attack, if the enemy character is not within range 2, the allied character may reroll 1 of its defense dice. So the Stormhop getting nerfed, completely valid, especially in the hands of like really strong players. It's kind of insane how good it was. It's funny though, like X-Men's one of those teams, we say it all the time. I see people on the Facebook group daily that are like, I cannot get wins with X-Men. Why does everybody say they can win events and stuff, you know? And it just proves that like certain leaderships are more difficult, but they've got these big upsides. And that was certainly the Stormhop, right? And certain players, like it just doesn't gel with them, right? Maybe like Steve would. Man,
everybody's brain works differently. And some of these affiliations are going to just make sense. Like you're just easily putting together, you know, something pretty complicated because it just makes sense. And then some, like Storms,
you gotta work.
Everyone around you can say, this is the best leadership in the game, which it was.
It was up there.
It was up there. I think it was
top five.
I think that global cover just made it ridiculous. But even then, like I played that affiliation for almost a year, and I had a hard time winning. I switched to X-Force, which was a worse affiliation, and I could start winning. You know, sometimes it's just like that, and that's okay.
100%. Now, with that said, I think this is a huge
it's still good
to the cover. The cover thing is huge.
The cover was just, it was too good.
Yeah, but now it's just like bad Miles leadership.
Yeah, you still get a hop, though. That's all Miles gets.
That's all Miles needs, right?
Definitely not complaining about the Web Warriors.
No, it's not. Let's
not complaining about anything, actually.
Might be like top of the cream of the crop. Well, you know,
that's
like,
kind of what I was alluding to.
The Avengers are just like winning from all these.
That's kind of what I was alluding to with Black Cat and Dr. Voodoo just kind of being out of the meta at the moment. That's not going to be forever. And these changes that they've made will make sure that they're not too terrible once they come back. But
I think it's a big nerf to Storm, but
it is.
So your round one hops are reduced or gone in a lot of ways. Obviously, there's ways around that with first class. As Guardians, there's a lot of things, right? But way more difficult. And then I think the cover is just, I think it's a huge change. Time will tell, but rerolling defense dice is just not good in this game. We know it. It's just not. Defense dice are bad innately, right? So also keep in mind too, Chris, like you just can't even, if you're in range two, like it's just turned off entirely, which it was before, but at least when you're outside of two, it was a guaranteed defensive feature, right? And now you're playing it for the Stormhop only. I don't think you're playing here for the second part. It's just a bonus, right? To kind of even it out. What is cool about this is stuff that gives you cover, which is very few things in the game, but stuff that gives you cover now, like objectives, like Scoundrels, now actually synergizes with Storm's leadership when it didn't originally, right? Originally, you already had cover. Now you've got cover and a reroll. Okay, so maybe X-Men can start playing Scoundrels, which is one of their worst objectives, right? So,
well, I think it just went into being one of their better ones. So,
yeah, we'll see. Absolutely. So, but what's cool about this, Chris, is large nerf overall to Gold, just flat out. It's a nerf to both sides.
Yes, it was.
Right. But Storm got better as a whole which is good for X-Men, but even better for like Wakanda, A-Force,
yeah,
everybody, right? Like Storm is just better. So I'm really excited to see, and I'm going to obviously keep you guys in touch with the changes and where I kind of land on it and stuff. Storm is not leaving my X-Men list. Do not worry. It's just, I have to learn how to play X-Men in completely different ways now.
Yes, they're a completely new team. Yes.
100%.
Whereas X-Force just got better.
But the same play style.
Same play style. You're going to have to rethink just about everything with X-Men. Because, you know, X-Men were that turn one play team. They were one of the best at it. And they had very, very, very many options for it. And they still do. We just have to figure them out.
Yeah, it's just a lot more difficult. And time will tell. We'll see how it goes. Yeah,
but time will tell.
Let's close out this episode with one of our favorite characters of all time, Wolverine. That's just Wolverine straight up, not Logan. And very subtle changes to Wolverine, Chris, that I'm very happy about. Something you and I have been talking about for a while, because I think Wolverine was kind of insane in some teams.
We both liked Wolverine still in certain spots. He definitely wasn't a four that you would blindly take into any situation. There are those fours out there. He was not one of them. It had to be a very specific
He was a little unfairly setup. Maligned.
He was a little unfairly maligned, but he
needed power, though.
But he definitely wasn't very great. And he wasn't as good as Wolverine should be.
He was just tanky, right? And now he's tanky he can actually spend his power. So the best of what I do got decreased to two power, which is his super action, his super charge action. This character immediately makes a move action followed by an attack action. While making this attack, each wild in the attack roll counts as two successes. It can only be used once per turn, but the best charge in the game.
Yes.
Right. So
it's
now
very
he can
scary,
actually,
man.
Now he can do it. So now when Wolverine has five power, because they also changed the wording, it originally had to be adamantium slash only, and it had there was throws and stuff baked in. It's all changed, but for the better. So now he can spend two power and he can either do his slash or his spender, his berserker barrage. What's cool about this is now the threat is real because he can charge, attack range three with berserker barrage, place, and then throw the enemy, right? With the successes.
With the wilds counting as two, yeah. Which is just...
He's explosive.
Wild, man. He's always been explosive. It's nasty. So. And it only... the killing power only gets worse on his backside.
Yep.
Where now Wild Rage is still here. It's still the same. We're adding one dice to every damage that is on Wolverine. So up to five. That's potentially 12 dice with wilds counting as two. Potentially. I mean, that's very rare that's going to happen. He has to be on one life on his injured side for this to happen. Very tough, but it will happen. And it's going to be that's going to be a very fun attack to make for whoever gets to do it. And I'm jealous.
It's also going to be an attack that you got to be careful. Don't get your hopes up too much because you still have to roll wilds. But it's also at the same time, you could just roll five wilds on your strike and do 10 damage. Like there's this huge variance, right? So it's absolutely amazing. I think Wolverine is completely on par with Logan now. And now you have to ask yourself questions on which one do you want? Which one fits your team better? Wolverine obviously fits X-Force better. Does he fit X-Men better? Time will tell. I think I'm exploring right now and enjoying. He also has more cards, Chris. Fastball Special, Weapon X Program. Logan
Fastball
doesn't have
Special's
those.
Fastball Special's for real.
It already was, right?
That is a very good card. And it's only better now that both characters that you have to play it have massively improved. Make no mistake. This is a massive improvement for Wolverine. It is one power difference. That's the only thing that changed. But
that's
it turned
how good his kit was.
Everything else on. Yeah. This guy, you think about the no matter the cost plays, you think about the plays that you can get in with playing him in Cyclops' leadership, any builder leadership, really. I mean, now you think about he's an affiliated defender. So let's think about these Berserker Barrages are now mystic attacks into someone with martial artists, right?
Or the Daredevil rerolls range two.
Daredevil rerolls range two.
To look for more wilds, right? Silly.
Yes. Just
watch out. He's going to be
Steve
Avengers. He's going to be.
I think Logan is better in defenders. I think Wolverine is affiliated. I think Logan is better on a flank. Well, it's the beam. It's the beam attack. Being able to get the rerolls on the beam, I think, is wild.
At the end of the day, him and Deadpool have healing factor two, which is their worst line of play sometimes is picking something up and healing too. And that's still awesome. Right.
Well,
so just be careful.
Think about Wolverine and Colossus
I know
manhandling a flank. That's eight threat, but
they do it though. They already did it before.
Yeah. It's nothing new. I'm not breaking new ground here by bringing this up, but
they plop their feet on the Metal Gamma.
The thought of it now is terrifying.
Bring Laura Kinney in and Wolverines. Stop. Wolverines.
That card is in my, it's in my 10. Watch out.
It has to be.
Especially against Wakanda.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, this has been a fun episode. We're going to return to more of this soon, right? With list building, discussions, obviously organic stuff, a lot of After Dark. So stay tuned for that. Of course, Furious Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Furious Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Furious Finest. You can find us everywhere online. You can find us on Twitter at Furious Finest Cast, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Furious Finest. You can always email us at furiousfinest@gmail.com and leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us and the game out.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. And like Jesse said, please rate, review, subscribe. Every little bit helps. We're about to be at a fever pitch. We're going to go from a very, very big lull to a fever pitch in MCP, but we're kind of used to that cadence at this point.
We are.
Spring and winter, fall, always big times for MCP. Summer a little bit slower, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's exciting time. Absolutely. Well, you can find me and Chris online in several spaces. You can find me, Jesse, on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Longshanks, all the same place, at Jesse Aiken. That's JSSEAKIN. And check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast. Hello there. A Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast everywhere podcasts can be found and online at Hello There Cast. Chris, where can everyone find you?
Right now, just find me on the Discord. Hit me up. I'm Strong Style. I might be displaying as Chris or Chris Finest in the MCP servers. Feel free to hit me up. Let's talk basketball. Let's talk MCP. Let's talk about Eddie Kingston winning the Ring of Honor championship. Oh, so happy for my guy. Anyway, hit me up. Let's talk.
I'm so happy for my guy too, Chris. His name is Wolverine.
His name's James Logan Howlett, sir.
Actually, who I'm most excited about from this overhaul, honestly, is Colossus.
I think
if I had to pick one.
I think the Colossus change is probably my favorite as well, just because it opens up for me personally, it opens up a lot of different play styles and different lists for me to run, thanks to him being where he needs to be. I've wanted to play him in all these teams for forever, and I've tried, but just doesn't always fit the crises I choose.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like the Cable's the one of the most exciting, but it's like, I feel like we just had a feeling it was coming. It's like Colossus getting a medium move is actually crazier than like the Cable and Scott changes, you know, which is, it's a crazy thing to say, but movement matters.
And it's huge.
Colossus went from being one of the slowest models in the game to now abnormally fast.
He's a spider foe, baby.
Exactly. He's a big lizard, right?
He's a big lizard.
Big Luke Cage, big lizard, which I think they were always intending him to be. So excited. And you guys stay tuned because it's perfect timing because we actually have a lot of mutant content in the future after our Asgard run. And we're really excited about it. So we hope you guys will join us on this journey and keep following us and let us know what cards are speaking to you the most. And we'll reconvene very soon. But until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.